Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. USDA says that H5N2 avian influenza has been confirmed in a commercial egg-laying chicken flock in northeast Nebraska. A flock of 1.7 million chickens in Dickson County have tested positive for the virus. USDA's latest information on the spread of H5N2 now shows the virus has hit just under 150 farms in 15 states and affected roughly 33 million birds. Senate Democrats yesterday blocked a bill that would give President Barack Obama fast-track trade authority. The vote was 8 short of the 60 votes necessary to clear a procedural hurdle to advance the measure. The bulk of the no votes came from Democrats. Official figures show the Eurozone economy grew at its fastest rate for nearly 2 years during the first 3 months of 2015. The 0.4% increase matches the rate recorded when the Eurozone emerged from its longest ever recession in the second quarter of 2013. China's state-run Economic Information Daily says the PRC will let local government bonds be used as collateral for new loans from China's central bank. The newspaper adds that interest on the new local government bonds cannot be lower than prevailing rates on Chinese treasury debt. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 18,045. It's up 16 points. The NASDAQ 4442, up 22. And the S&P 500 is 2100. It's up almost 6 points.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey is an organization whose roots run deep, financing agricultural needs for over 145 years, helping serve the agribusiness needs of landowners and investors for generations to come. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Joining us now is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
A good mix of weather will occur across the Midwest over the next 2 weeks, with equal amounts of sunshine and rainfall likely in eastern portions of the region, while the west is biased a little bit on the wet side of normal, especially in this first week of the outlook. But overall, the bottom line is still going to be favorable for field work and crop development. In fact, crops will likely eat up this environment, which is going to be favorably moist and warm through a big part of the forecast period. Daily highs will work their way into the 70s and 80s on a routine basis a little bit later this week and on into next week, and the low temperatures at night will stay well above the damage threshold. The closest that any frost or freeze event would be to the U.S. would probably be in Canada's Manitoba and Saskatchewan provinces, where there will be some potential for some damaging conditions there. But in the heart of the Midwest, there should not be much in the way of threats for additional frost and freezes. With that said, this morning there were frost and freeze conditions noted across portions of Wisconsin, and some of the emerged corn there may have been damaged, but that would be the only place in the Midwest where a significant potential problem evolved in the last 24 hours or is going to occur anytime in the next week to 10 days. The temperatures in the majority of the Midwest this morning are running mostly in the 40s and 50s. We have mostly fair skies in the majority of the region, although some cloudiness is present in the north, especially in Michigan, into parts of eastern Ohio, and also across the upper Midwest, in the Dakotas and parts of Minnesota, and northwest and west central sections of Wisconsin. Today, a new storm system will begin to brew in the southern plains and will work its way through hard red winter wheat country and eventually will spread rain into the western corn belt. Much of that, though, will occur overnight tonight and into the day tomorrow. Most of that precipitation is going to start off being somewhat disorganized, but it will push its way away in a significant manner from Kansas and parts of Missouri into Minnesota and Wisconsin. Even parts of the eastern Dakotas will be impacted as well. And most of that precipitation will be of greatest significance as we go through the night tonight and into the day tomorrow, with areas in Nebraska and western Iowa possibly seeing some of the greater amounts, and a few counties maybe in North Dakota. That system will not likely hold together very well when it tries to go through the eastern Midwest, but there will be a scattering of showers in the eastern parts of the region as we go through the day Thursday and into Friday morning. A new storm system, though, will form in the plains as we get into Friday afternoon and continuing into Saturday and also during the weekend. During that time period, we'll likely see showers and thunderstorms, some locally heavy, evolving across parts of the western Corn Belt and the plains. Again, the eastern Midwest will likely see some shower activity, but fieldwork is going to advance around the precipitation. In fact, that'll probably be a trend that will be prevailing on into next week. There will be some delays to farming activity, but for the most part, with temperatures running up into the 80s on a frequent basis, there will be good drying conditions between rain events, and field progress will continue. The areas in the country that will see the least amount of rain and the greatest potential for drying will be from Georgia and the Carolinas back into parts of Ohio, and those areas may see firmer soil evolve as time moves forward. The temperatures at night are likely to stay well above frost levels in the U.S. Midwest. Most low temperatures will run in the 40s and 50s across the north, while the southern areas will see lows that will run 50s and 60s. The afternoon temperatures, as I've alluded to, will see frequent readings in the 70s and 80s across a big part of the Midwest as we go from the end of this week through the first half of next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from Busey. Since 1868, they've reinvested in our communities one project at a time, from financial guidance and support to energetic volunteers and committed leaders. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat, 502.5, down 5.25. Soft July is 476, down 4.5. May corn, 358.25, up 1.25. July, 360.75, down 1/4. December, 377, up 1. May beans, 978.5, up 11.5. July, 958.25, up 2.75. November, 938, up 2. May soybean meal, 304.50, up $2. May soybean oil, it's 32.86, up 5 cents. June live cattle, 151.40, down 7.5. May feeders, 217.82.5, up 12.5. And May lean hogs are 81.40, and they are up 10. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Well, what has caught my eye is May soybeans up 11.5, and right now that is the cash market for beans, which makes me wonder, when it goes off the board, does July rally?
Conceivably, it could, but I would say you got to be a little bit careful looking at that May contract, because a lot of times the way our quotes reflect prices, that could be a bid or an offer. We don't know which, and there's probably not much volume there. The July could, if it's a chart point, you could see a quick flash rally up to that point. But my assumption at this particular point in time is there's no shortage of beans, even in the cash market, so rallies are meant to be sold.
So no shortage even in the cash market of old crop beans?
Not that we're aware of. Now, we've talked about it in the past. I do think that there might be an opportunity down the road where maybe the USDA has to adjust. They might have overestimated last year's crop, but I don't think it's going to create any shortages. It's just going to be an adjustment.
Does yesterday's steep decline essentially for soybeans suggest that maybe the low is in all the way out to the June 30th acreage report?
I would have very little confidence in making that assumption. The technical profile of the bean market says we're going to make new lows. When do we do it? I don't know for sure, but the bottom line is that this is the fourth time down to the bottom part of this trading range. The market is fully justified in probing down below those lows, and then the question is how much follow-through we see, or do we reject those lows and come back into the range? That's for the market to tell us.
All right. Turn your attention to the corn market, which We still are looking for essentially a close below last week's low to signal something.
Yeah, I think so, and I'm open-minded. If I see a close of in July corn above 368, I'm going to try to be price positive. And if we close below last week's low, that's going to be price negative. I'm looking for my wheat market to give me a bias. But right now, corn's in the middle of the road. It's got some good news coming to it in the fact that, you know, the planting's getting done, but we're probably going to see reduced acres. The negative thing is we still have a lot of cash corn in the countryside, and then most people that need to move it are reluctant to do so here. They're probably going to be waiting another 40, 45 days. In 45 days, we get to the real negative seasonals for corn, and that's going to be kind of like the double whammy where you start marketing new crop and old crop at the same time. The market's going to have a lot of stuff to digest.
Not a lot of time left, but very quickly, is the mini rally in wheat pretty much done?
I tend to think so, but I'm cautiously optimistic. Obviously, it's our leader. It's tough to find a seasonal low this early before harvest. So arguably, it's going to be a little bit of a rally, but we still have probably more negativity going forward.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. May corn, 357 unchanged. July, 360 and three quarters down a quarter. December, 377 up one. May beans, 978 and a half, up 11 and a half. November's 933 and a quarter, up 2.5. The July is 959 and three quarters, up 4.25. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.